This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 7th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. I carve out a portion of my day to talk about preparing for your future, your financial independence. A recent survey found that U.S. investors are still substantially influenced by the problems, the shadow of 2007, 2008, that financial crisis. People are still influenced by that. It also revealed some aggressive investors don't have asset allocation reflecting their aggressiveness. They emerge, they're being much more cautious. Even though they describe themselves as aggressive, their portfolio is not aggressive. Isn't that interesting? Now, is there a chance you're one of those people? Maybe you'd like to talk about it. Asset allocation in your portfolio. That's what we're here to talk about. We talk about that all the time. It's very important. It's more important than just picking this stock and that stock. The overall asset allocation has to reflect what you want. So let's get to work answering your questions right now. Our 24-hour listener line is always open, 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came in before today's program.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Thank you for taking my question. My question revolves around these steel tariffs. I have a portion, at least, of my stocks in automakers. And with the steel tariffs coming in, obviously there are long-term holds for the dividends. But would it be a better idea to pull that money out and put it to work in other sectors while these steel tariffs are talked about, possibly implemented? Or would it just be a good idea to keep the stocks that I have now and just guaranteed the dividend, or obviously it's not guaranteed, but just collect the dividend? Or could the dividend possibly be downgraded as well with the steel tariffs? Thanks for taking my question, and I'll listen on your show. Thank you.
No, I think the auto companies are going to not suffer hardly at all from the steel tariffs. Now, they had fallen. Well, I'm looking at Ford, the chart of Ford. They've fallen, but the last 4 or 5 days, it's made up most of the price that they fell. They didn't fall that much. The cars will cost, if there was a across-the-board steel tariff, the cars will cost between $100 to $300 more each. But you know what? I don't think it's going to come to that. I really don't. I think, you know, we get most of our steel from Canada and some of it from Mexico. I think they're 10th, 12th or something. And I don't really think it's going to affect the car companies very much in the long run at all. I don't. They're going to be able to pass that cost on because, you know, we're already starting to see some inflation, and makers and service providers are already starting to pass on the cost. And you see salaries already waging because of, you know, deployment is pretty tight. I don't see it as a problem. I mean, I'm talking long term. I mean, I'm not talking about, yeah, it's a problem recently. But now, remember, the price is already built in. Everybody knows that that's what the tariffs are going to be. So the actual implementation of the tariff, it's not going to matter. It's already built into the price. That was built in when they announced it. That day, the day after that, that's it. They're done. So no, there's no reason to sell your auto companies because of that reason. Now, having said that, I don't really care for auto companies, but I'm just saying that don't sell them because of the steel tariffs. Not going to be a problem. So how do you measure risk? And have you heard me talking about it? Have you heard me talk about alpha and beta? You know what those are? These are two tools enable you to quantify value and risk. These can be very useful tools. Both risk ratios are used in modern, risk ratios meaning alpha and beta, are used in modern portfolio theory and are designed to determine the risk versus reward profile of investments. Alpha measures the performance of an investment portfolio compared to a benchmark index, such as the S&P 500. The difference between the returns of a portfolio and the benchmark is referred to as alpha. A positive alpha of 1 means the portfolio has outperformed the benchmark by 1%. Likewise, a negative alpha indicates the underperformance of the benchmark. So what does beta mean? Beta means a volatility of a portfolio compared to the benchmark index. Same thing, S&P 500. Unlike alpha, beta captures the movements and swings in the asset prices. A beta greater than 1 indicates higher volatility, whereas a beta under 1 is lower volatility and more stable. Okay, alpha and beta. Now, if you have questions about alpha and beta tools, let's talk about it. I'm here for this hour, 888-99-CHART, between the hours of 4 and 5, Monday through Friday. We're live. And, you know, if you want more clarification or you're not quite sure what I just said, go to investopedia.com and look up alpha and beta. They'll explain it to you. So what else are you going to talk about this hour? What do you want? What do you want to talk about? I know what I'm going to talk about, but what about you? What else do you want to talk about? I'm going to talk about various topics. How about bond ETFs, not as simple as they seem? That's going to be one talk. How about productivity numbers? The fourth quarter of last year was revised. What does that mean? The Beige Book. I want to talk about that. That came out. It's a report by the 12 districts of the Federal Reserve. I'm going to discuss that. And finally, jobs. ADP reported numbers, and the official number comes out on Friday. So I want to talk about those are things I want to discuss. The market was mixed today. The Dow was down 83. The NASDAQ was up 25. And the S&P was down 1. But the market was a lot worse than that at the beginning of the day. Excuse me. So it was a very interesting day. We've had lots and lots of swings. Very big swings compared to what we saw in recent history. But I want to tell you that these very big swings you're seeing is a reversion or a going back to normal 1 to 2% volatility on a daily basis. That's over long term. That's about how volatile the market is, 1 to 2% on a day. Going down, up, down during the day. And extremes on that is 1 to 2%. At the end of the day, that's what we have. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. As you know, I love to talk about stocks, and sometimes we can get a bit technical, and I apologize for that. If you're getting lost in the jargon that I'm using, it's my fault, obviously, not yours. So don't think that it's your fault because you don't understand something. It's me not explaining it right. So please ask me about anything we talk about. Any questions is welcome. And you can bet that there's someone else listening who had the same question as you do. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now.
We'll get right back to Invest Talk now. Your questions and comments are welcome, whether it's a stock or a strategy. Maybe you have a real beginner's question. Those are good, too. And remember, when we take questions about individual stocks, those are learning opportunities, too, for everyone. Because inside every discussion about an individual company, there are principles to apply to all.
Hello, this is Chaz from Kingsland, Georgia. I listen to you guys all the time. I love your show. I was wondering if you could look at ticker symbol ARCC. I really like it for the high dividend yield, and what I'm reading is kind of up and down. So I would really like your opinion on it. Can't wait to hear it on the air. You have a good one. Bye.
ARTC is not a stock that's tracked in my database. So I don't know what it is. I'm sorry, say it again. ARCT, not TC. Okay, ARCT. Okay, there it is. I'm blaming my engineer. He's throwing me off. He gave me the wrong symbol. Didn't you? Anyways, develops and commercializes lipid nanoparticle drugs delivery system from orphan disease market. Boy, this is pretty specific. Pretty darn specific. It is a $22 million company, meaning it's a microcap, a very small company, selling for $5.64. Okay, remember, being a company that is only $22 million in market cap, that is microcap. Whenever you hear me say the word microcap, you should automatically think very high risk. Very high risk. So why would you take a chance on a microcap? The only reason you would do it is because they have extremely high growth in sales. Well, this company makes no money, has never made money. I don't think it's going to make money in the future so far. There is absolutely no reason to own this company or to even think about it being in your portfolio. If you wanted to be a gambler, that's the only reason that you would own this stock. You're rolling the dice. It's a Las Vegas effort. So make sure that you do that with a very small part of your proportion and then portfolio. And if you lose all the money, make sure it's so small that you don't really care if that happens. But these are not the kinds of stocks you should have in your portfolio. Not the kinds of stocks that you should have. Okay, ARCT, Arcturus Therapeutics. Remember, it's a $22 million company. And really tiny. Really tiny. So it's a story stock. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, so we're talking about bonds. What's a big blunder that many average investors are committing in bonds? Okay? Most people think of bonds as safe. That is an incorrect assumption. Very incorrect assumption. Bonds are not safe. Okay, give you an example. Especially an ETF. If you have you seen the chart of TLT? TLT. Okay? We've talked about it before, people. This is an ETF. This is an ETF that buys a 20-year Treasury bond. Okay? U.S. Treasury, TLT. Okay, TLT has fallen 18% since its peak, and that's a recent peak, 18%. An average investor who bought near the peak to collect about 2.75% interest has now lost 18% of his principal. Okay, great. You get 2.75% a year, and you just lost 18% in what? A month? 2 months? 3 months? Whatever it was at the recent peak. If interest rates normalize, the average investor who bought near the peak, TLT, would lose 42% of the principal. So don't think that bonds funds and bond ETFs are safe. People make this big mistake that they think bonds are safe. This is where they're safe. If you buy the actual bond at par, you can buy a bond that's high quality from a corporate bond or even a municipal bond, high quality. You can hold it to maturity and you get it, your money back at par. During the time you hold it, you earn your interest. Okay, that is safe. But during those years that is paying interest from the day you buy it to the day it matures, let's say it's 5 years, 3 years, 10 years, I don't know. The value of that bond you own will go up and down, depending on interest rates. Therefore, if interest rates rise, the value will go down. If you hold it to maturity, you get your money back. If you sell it in between, you may lose a ton of money if interest rates rise. So just remember that. And the value of the bond will go down while interest rates rise. It'll go below par value. If interest rates go up, the value will go down. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Let's have a conversation about your money. Are you faced with a complicated money decision right now? Maybe you're being lured into an annuity? We talked about that yesterday. Do you have questions? I welcome any money questions at 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, and we're here to help you become more familiar with the basics of investing, how to start managing your portfolio, how to reduce risk, and answer your questions. Talk to Steve right now. The anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Jeff in Philadelphia. How you doing, Jeff?
Steve, good. Love the show. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm good. Thank you.
Question today is about AbbVie, ABBV, pharmaceutical company,
yes.
Produces Humira. Wanted to invest in this about a year ago, and I didn't.
Darn.
And now it's at around 114, and I'm wondering if it's still a good time to buy it. A lot of stuff is supposed to go on in 2018. Wanted to get your input.
Well, I would tell you this. It's a very solid, big-cap, blue-chip kind of stock. $182 billion size. And develops Humira and other pharmaceuticals, biological treatments for rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and Crohn's disease. It's going to repurchase $10 billion worth of its stock. That's about 7%. Okay? It's going to make $7.50 this year. That's 34% more than last year. And then an $8.72 jump to next year, 16%. And sales have been increasing. There's a lot of good fundamental reasons for this stock to keep going up. Now, after saying that, it's $114 and it's going to make $8.72. So that means that the PE range is 11 to 23, and that PE is
higher than that, right?
It's not bad. It's not bad because, you know, a 10 PE be $87, a 15 PE be 120, and it's 114. So a 15 PE is right in the middle of its range based on next year's earnings. So I think that this might be a good place to buy it. I think on a market correction, it'll go down. But, you know, this correction, it didn't go down that much.
Yeah,
it was a 10% correction of market. This only went down. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Jeff?
I was saying you talk about is it's sort of flattened out over the past week or so. It's sort of been around 113, 114.
Correct.
So it's trading sideways, as you say.
Yes. So, and it's I think this looks like a possible buy point. Here, I would love to have it pull back to the $100 range. I mean, that would make me feel much more comfortable. But I don't know if you're going to get it. And if you're a long-term holder,
it pays
3.3% dividend, and it's only going to go up, not down.
Here's
so it's a good, solid
company.
They
have a lot of debt.
I saw that.
Is that offset by the fact that they're earning so much?
Yes, the cash flow is very high, so I'm not too worried about the debt. I'm really not. If they were worried about it, they wouldn't repurchase $10 billion worth of stock. They would pay all some of that debt. So they're not too worried about it either. I wish they wouldn't do the repurchase. I wish they would pay off the debt. But you know, you get what you get. We can't control what they do. But they have the liquidity to do whatever they want to. They're very solid. Jeff, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted
Thank
to
you.
Ask you about AIEQ. Thinking of getting a small position.
Is that the AI-powered equity ETF?
It's a robotics ETF, AIEQ.
Okay, it's an ETF seeking long-term capital appreciation within risk constraints commensurate with the broad market U.S. equity indexes. So the description doesn't really tell us what it does. It really does not. And it's so new. It's so new. We're talking about, December? It came out? It's so new, it's very hard to know, John, without going into the specifics of what is their risk constraints on their whatever they're doing. We'd have to find out because I don't have it here in front of me. And it's so new, it's tough to judge even the chart. It's hard to know that this is this a good place to get in, you know. Appreciate the call, John. Sorry I couldn't help you very much there. 888-99-CHART, 888-99, thank you, John. 992-4278. Everybody, our lines are open. Love to talk to you. Productivity in Q4. Now, we already have the original number, and this is the first revision, the fourth quarter of last year. They revised it up to being flat, zero, no productivity increase. Before, productivity increase was down 0.1%. And the reason it was flat, it didn't move hardly at all, was because there's really nothing. The labor costs went up, and that's good. And so you had some increase in factory productivity and service, but not enough to do anything different. Everybody's hoping the corporate tax cut will increase productivity, allowing corporations to buy more equipment to make them more productive. That's the hope. We'll see. So what's coming up on the next Invest Talk? How should my asset allocation change as I get older? That will be one of the topics on on Thursday's Invest Talk. That's tomorrow. 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. Here's a true or false question for you. You have less tolerance for risk than you used to. True or false? Most investors have more doubts about the reliability of advice, the stability of companies. But at the same time, you still believe that the stock market offers the most promise for your retirement savings. Investors are shorter on trust, but they're still investors. So KPP Financial has a question for you. If you could form a partnership with a financial advisor rather than the typical client relationship, would that make more sense to you? Well, the principals at KPP Financial invest their own money right along with yours. That makes you more of a partner than a client. When they make those buy and sell decisions for you, they're impacting their retirement too. KPP Financial, independent thinking, shared success. And now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues on a service of KPP Financial. From more conservative to more aggressive to income producing, why not take a look at the range of investment programs from KPP Financial? Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk, and your questions about any money matter are welcome right now. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's go talk to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was wondering what your opinion would be for Micron Technology. Is it too late, or is there still some life left?
I think there's life left in it, but you are late to the game, Mike, and I'm sure you already know that. Micron Technologies, everybody, manufactures DRAM and non-flash memory image sensors used in computers, servers, and consumer electronics. They're going to make $10.15 this year, and that's a huge jump from last year. But next year, they're going to make $8.70. Well, at $8.70, and it's a $54 stock, that's still an 8 PE. Okay, so it's not expensive. Return on equity is 37. So I think you could still buy it. I do, Mike. Even though it's at a 52-week high and it's run up from, $10, $11 to now $50 in a year, it's still pretty darn cheap. So, Mike, I'd probably just close my eyes and buy it. But, but I'm sure we'll have a pullback. If you want to wait for a pullback in the next few weeks to a month or two, I'm sure it will. But, it broke out. So when I see a stock break out like this, you might as well just buy it because you don't know where it's going to end. Be prepared, though, for a pullback, okay, Mike?
I mean, is it...
It's 4 to 87.
Okay.
And it's 8 right now. Okay? Okay. Mike, appreciate the call. That was Micro. Thank you. Micron Technology, everybody. MU is the symbol. MU. Okay, the Bayes book. Do you know what the Bayes book is? I talk about it every so often. The reason why I talk about it every so often is because it only comes out like every quarter. I mean, it doesn't come maybe every 6 or 8 weeks. It doesn't come out very often. Yeah, I think it's 6 weeks or something. I don't know. But it doesn't come out very often. And, you know, I don't really talk about it every time it comes out because it's not interesting. The thing that was interesting in this one is all 12 districts. The Facebook is the Federal Reserve's snapshot of the economy. And there's 12 districts in the Federal Reserve. Northeast, Midwest, California. You know, there's all these districts. And there's a president, a Federal Reserve president, each one of these districts. And they do surveys, and that survey is compiled in the Bayes book. The survey is about business conditions and, you know, inflation and how are they going to spend money, that kind of thing. And all 12 districts see pressure, upward pressure on inflation, all 12 of them. Now, it obviously gives Jerome Powell. Now, remember, Jerome Powell is our new Federal Reserve chairman. Jerome Powell, you're going to hear that name for a number of years, Jerome Powell. That gives him a lot of freedom to raise rates. They're meeting next week. Everybody assumes there's going to be a rate increase. And pretty much I can guarantee you there'll be a rate increase. And pretty much if they do like they always do, 0.25%. Even though I think they should raise it 0.5%. Boy, would that shock everybody? I remember the days raising 0.5%, not announcing at all happens. They just do what, there's no rule that they had to do 0.25% at a time. But they're probably going to do it 0.25% because they're trying to be transparent in what they do. And everybody assumes they're going to be a raise it 3 times this year. But maybe now people are talking, maybe they'll do four times a raise. Now, four times a raise at 0.25% is 1%. And that will take the Fed fund rate to about 2%. That's still low. Even if they raise 4 times, it's not high. It's not going to be normal like it has over multi-decades. See, we're so used to low interest rates, we can't fathom being that type of increase in interest rates. But that's normal. That's why they call it normalization. It's normal. We're way below normal. So that was a Bayes book. And there's lots of good things going on in the economy, but there's some not so good little cracks I've talked about. You know, a little bit of cracking I see in the housing market. Still strong. Don't get me wrong. I'm still saying that the housing market is strong, but you know, they have on existing home sales a lack of inventory, but new home sales numbers went down and there's strong demand. Why? I'm just saying, starting to see a little, not everything is positive. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go to Jack, who lives in Hayward. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much, Steve, for taking the call.
Thank you.
I have a question on FedEx. Is it a good time to buy?
Okay, let's take a look at FedEx. And everybody knows, the mail delivery companies are good gauges of the economy. You know, are their sales increasing? Are their delivery package numbers being delivered increasing? They're a pretty good gauge. And FedEx and UPS and those kind of companies are a good gauge. And FedEx is doing well, provides, ground and small parcel less, deliveries. Everybody knows what they do. Okay, they're going to make $13.50 this year after making $12.23. So that's like 10% increase. And then next year, they're going to make $16.92. That's a 25% increase. Sales are growing. They're not growing as fast as they were, but the most recent quarter grew 9%. But you got to remember, 4 quarters ago, the company grew 20%. So, you can't keep growing 20% when you're a $65 billion company, and it's just hard to do that. So you look for a buy point. It got up close to about 273, 274 per share, $274 per share. Today it's a 241. It pays 0.8% dividend, so you don't buy it for the dividend. So you need to buy it when it looks cheap. And I'll say this, Jack, I don't think it looks cheap enough. The P ratio is going to be what? 18? And that's right in the middle of the range. 12 to 24 is the range of their PE. It's a very strong company with strong numbers, strong management. It's got all the good qualities you want. It just is a bit expensive, Jack. I think I'd like to buy it maybe at the $220 a share in that range instead of $240. I think I'd be waiting on this one. Thanks for the call,
Jack. Thank
you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. It's called the LEI report. Do you know what that means? The Leading Economic Indicator Report, released by the Conference Board. Now, it spiked 1% in January. Now, if you'd like to know more of the details, you can visit investtalk.com, click on the InvestTalk tab, and then look for Income Marketplace. You'll see more than a handful of important articles gathered from the most credible financial news sources that we can find. Is right there for you on InvestTalk.com.
If you get some value out of InvestTalk, why not tell a friend? InvestTalk is a ready source of answers about any money matter. And whether it's investing in the stock market or trying to figure out the fees you're paying in your mutual fund, 888-99-CHART is how to reach us anytime on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART, ADP reported, ADP, the payroll people. Every month they come out with a jobs report themselves, and it's for the private sector jobs, and they reported 235,000 of them were produced in February. New jobs, 235,000. And we've had 4 months in a row of over 200,000, okay? The expectation was for 205,000. Small firms added 68,000, medium firms 97,000, and large firms 70,000. So all throughout the economy, small, medium, large companies added jobs, added people. Friday, we get the official number. The official number. This is for February. And the official number is saying we're going to have 222,000. Now, ADP is 235,000, and only is private sector, where the official number includes private and public jobs. So if ADP is correct, that means there's going to be fewer public jobs that break it down from 235 to 222. Now, the mean ADP is correct, though. We don't know that. The job market is hot. It's a red-hot job market. Anybody who really wants a job should be able to find a job. And if you can't find a job, there's something wrong with you. Now, there are specific industries that it's much harder to find a job there isn't, but you can find work. May not be what you want, may not be as much money as you want, but there's a lot of job openings out there for people. Okay, let's go to Matt in Alameda. How you doing, Matt?
Again, I had a question on FANUF, play on the whole automizing robotics.
F is in Frank, A is in Apple, N is in Nancy, U is in Up, and F is in Frank.
Thank you.
Okay, that's FANUF. It's a foreign company. You know how I can tell it's foreign? Just by the F on the end of the signal, at the end of the symbol. Being foreign, I don't have data on foreign companies. Unless they're ADRs, foreign companies that are sponsored and trading on our exchanges, and I don't see... I'm going to check one more spot. FANUF. Yeah, I don't have any data on this company. So I as being a foreign company, I just don't have hardly any data, Matt. And I'm sorry I can't help you because I don't have any information.
Okay, no worries. How about another one? S as in SQM.
S-U-M? Like some?
S-Q as in quiet. S-Sam, okay. Quiet, yeah. Mary.
Got it. That's a Sociedad. Oh, it's another foreign company, but this is an ADR. In other words, it's traded on our exchange. So I do have information on it. So let's put it over here as QM. Okay, it's from Chile. It produces specialty fertilizers, iodine, industrial chemicals, and other products sold worldwide. It's a $13 billion company, so it's pretty big, Matt. It would be a large cap. They make money. They've made money for years, and they've increased money. Has been going on for 4 or 5 years. They're going to make $2.18 next year after making $1.80 this year. Sales are increasing by between 4 and 12% in the last three, four quarters. And let's see, the P.E. ratio is 30, so it's a $49.80 or a $50 stock, going to make $2.18. So that tells you the P.E. is going to be about 23 or so, and the range is 12 to 42. So it's kind of right in the middle of its range based on next year's earnings. Return on equity is very healthy, and the dividend is solid at 2.3%, and they'll be able to keep paying that dividend. That's not going to be a problem for them. So it's a good, solid company, and you want to buy it when the chart looks like it's inexpensive. And, you know, from a chart basis, this looks like a good buy point, from a chart. So if you're going to buy it, you could buy it now. Just know that you're paying a little up for it. It's not cheap, but it's not super expensive either. It's right in the middle. But if you want to own this, this is where you would buy it. Okay, Matt?
Love the service you provide.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We've had a ton of economic information out this week. Last week was pretty weak because it was just holiday week, and the week before there was a lot. So this week we're having a lot. And of course, everybody's waiting for the official job report coming up on Friday. That's going to be the most interesting report. And we should come out this week, or was it next week? I don't know, about those steel tariffs and aluminum tariffs that President Trump was talking about. Supposed to come out, was it 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum? Is that what he said? And it was across the board. But people are trying to talk him down from that. Whether he should or shouldn't, that's a whole other issue. But, the question is, do you have confidence in what he's doing? That's really the question. I kind of felt that maybe he's using these tariffs, as leverage to get a free trade deal put together between Canada and Mexico. Remember, that's kind of on pause. You haven't been hearing much about that. Maybe he's putting pressure. Remember, Canada is our number one importer from Canada. Number one import is steel from Canada. Steel. So there could be that. He's a businessman. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. That's how I look at it. And maybe he's looking at everything through a businessman's eyes. I don't know. Should it worry you and me as investors? No. I don't think so. I don't think it's a big enough issue. It's not a big enough issue to upset the economic apple cart out there. Is he going to cause a trade war? No. I don't think so. You got to remember, we have a very big trade deficit, very big trade deficit. In the 70s and the 80s, we did not have a trade deficit. So what has changed? Something's changed from that period of time. It's just not worrying me as an investor. I'm more concerned about inflation, sales and earnings growth. Those kinds of things. 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody.
Let's get back to your calls on Invest Talk for this Wednesday, March 7th. Retirement can last several decades, so it generally pays to maintain a healthy dose of stocks.
well into retirement. How should my asset allocation change as I get older? Steve and Justin hope you'll join them for that. That's on the next Invest Talk. Right now, we welcome your question at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve, Justin. This is DJ from Danville, California. I had a question on GSY, Ultra Short Bond ETF. My thinking is that it's a good place to park some cash in a rising interest rate environment. My understanding, and please correct me on this, is that as these ultra short bonds expire, the fund will purchase new bonds potentially at a higher interest rate. So the interest rate given on the yield given on this ETF would continue to rise as interest rates rise. That's my thought, at least. So I just wanted to run that by you guys and see if that makes sense and if that's the expected behavior that I should get out of this ETF. Again, the symbol is GSY, and I appreciate your show. Thank you.
Okay, you are reading that correctly. Okay, this is a GSY, it's Guggenheim Ultra Short Duration. It is a bond fund, exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the Barclays 1 to 3 month U.S. Treasury bill index. It's ultra short, and therefore he's exactly right. If when the bonds expire, they keep buying a 1 to 3 month bond. Bang, boom, 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 boom. And it's getting 1.9% yield on them. So as interest rates rise, they will get more and more yield. So because it's ultra short, rising interest rates doesn't affect it negatively very much because they keep, you know, they keep maturing and they just reinvest it at the higher rate and the higher rate. So it really is a good place to park money. You won't make a lot of money. You won't. You'll make more than money market. You may not make more than inflation because it's 1.9%. But as the interest rates rise, this will continue to pay you more money. So it actually is a pretty good way to, you know, to put money somewhere making more than just money market returns. It will get a better return. So, now, how about why baby boomers who are retiring won't crash the market? Won't. Why won't they? And the main reason is because they can't afford to retire anytime soon en masse. They can't. They have to continue to invest to grow the money they have. And even though they'll be using it, they're still going to need to get more returns than just money market rates or whatever rates they have. And these rates are going to stay low for quite some time. So remember, they don't have enough money to retire. They don't. We're talking, of course, in mass, all at the same time, or everybody, because they have not just put away enough money. They have not. And they're going to be start collecting Social Security, and they're going to be spending every bit of that Social Security check. So it's not something that you and I need to worry. Well, I'm old, and I'm a baby boomer. But I don't plan on retiring. Think about that. I don't want to retire because I don't want to. But there's many of my brethren that can't retire because they don't have the money. And that's a pretty significant part. The other significant part, we're living healthier and older. We don't, you know, don't really want to retire necessarily. Maybe stop working at what they have to do and then go do something they want to do, but still making money. So I don't think it is an issue that you're going to need to worry about. I really don't. Has everybody been paying attention to the prices of homes out there? Did you see that survey that showed you where the cheapest place to live in America and the most expensive place to live in America? The cheapest place is, I think it's Brownsville, Texas. Cheapest. The most expensive place was San Francisco. No big surprise there, right? Now, I thought it might have been, you know, one of the places in the Northeast or someplace. But nope, San Francisco won. Brownsville, Texas, number two. Now, I'm the cheapest. San Francisco, the most expensive. It's kind of an interesting survey. Time to wrap it up, everybody. Reminder, next week I'll be in San Jose for individual meetings with our listeners. It's next Wednesday, March 14th. I have one slot open. So if you'd like to reserve it, you go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Justin Klein and I want to thank you for making us this our show part of your day. I appreciate it. And maybe we can do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.